You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with Pat Traina of The Athletic, Inside Football, Forbes, Big Blue View. And now I'm out of breath, Patty, and I have no idea what the other places are.
Oh, goodness. Running joke here, my gosh. And,
yeah,
and to think there might be more coming. It's like it never stops.
I don't know, Patty. I don't know how you keep track of it all, but we give you credit, and we're glad to be doing a Giants show with you. And Giants fans, today we will continue our position previews as we get you ready for training camp, which, believe it or not, is now less than a week away. We've covered, I believe, all of the offense. We've covered the defensive line. We've covered linebackers. And today on Locked On Giants, we will talk about cornerbacks. And, Patty, it's a really interesting position for the Giants. It's one that I know has had fans concerned the entire offseason. It's had me concerned. I know that that you and I have talked about the position a little bit. When you look at you know, training camp coming up, how do you feel about the cornerback position at this point?
I think the word is surprise, and I'll preface that by telling you a little story. When I was at the combine this past February, I was talking to an agent who has a bunch of players on the Carolina Panthers and who has dealt with Dave Gettleman before. And we were just kind of talking about Gettleman's tendencies, you know, what to expect in free agency, what to expect in the draft. And this particular agent said to me, get ready for an influx of cornerbacks, because Dave Gettleman likes to collect them. He likes to draft them. He likes to sign them. And sure enough, that is what's happened. Now, Gettleman did not draft any cornerbacks in the main draft. He did pick up Sam Beal in the supplemental draft, which was kind of a surprise. But, you know, when you look at the logic behind it, I guess it makes sense. And he signed a bunch of guys. I think there were like four different guys to minimum qualifying deals, one-year deals that count for the veteran minimum against the cap. So I think because of that, you have a situation that is created – some concern amongst fans, because they look at the guys that were signed and they say, well, how good can these guys be? They've been journeymen. They don't have a lot of experience. You know, what the heck are the Giants doing? And I think what we are seeing, what usually happens when a team does that approach, it usually means they're getting ready to transition the position, but they just didn't find enough of the talent that they wanted in the current year to do that. So by that I mean, you know, you look at Janoris Jenkins, who is coming back from an injury, coming back from a rough year, you know, in which he had a suspension. It's a make or break year for him this year. You know, his salary cap number, I think, hits 13.5, I think, in 2019. And if he doesn't come through with the type of season that he had in 2016, he probably will not be here next year. Eli Apple, a decision's coming up on him. He's, I think now, what, in his third year? Yeah, his third year. So after this year, they're going to have to soon make a decision on whether or not to pick up his option year of his rookie deal. So, you know, he needs to come back, and he needs to bounce back from last year's forgettable performance. Beyond that, you have William Gay, a veteran, who they signed, who's probably going to do most of the slot work. And by the way, you know, people ask me about DRC and if he's coming back, and I think we can pretty much say that with the addition of Sam Beal in the third round, the chances of DRC coming back, unless there's a rash of injuries, I think that those chances have dropped to close to zero. So anyway, the depth has started to fill out a little bit at corner. You know, you've got Jenkins now. You've got Apple, Gay, like I said, and Beal, who I think is going to be a developmental project. You might see him contribute some in the beginning, but I think you'll see more contributions from him later in the year. And then it's just a matter of, you know, is it going to be Grant Haley, a cornerback they were very high on, who's an undrafted free agent? Is it going to be one of these guys, you know, Teddy Williams, B.W. Webb? I know I missed another guy. Chris Lewis Harris, and I know there's one other whose name's escaping me. Is he going to be the fifth guy? So I think the cornerback depth is a little bit better than it was at the start of the month, but still a lot of questions.
Patty, definitely a lot of questions, and for me, a somewhat surprising approach to the cornerback position. You know, starting with Jack Rabbit and with Eli Apple, to be honest with you, because, you know, letting DRC go, I understood, because you just don't pay a 32-year-old part-time cornerback, you know, more than $8 million. They got outbid for Ross Cockrell, you know, and so be it. That happens in free agency. Just a little bit surprising, you know, for me that, you know, entering the season, going through the draft and going through free agency, that the Giants made it so obvious that they were counting on Eli Apple after the way things went for him last year. You know, thankfully, what we saw from Eli Apple in the spring was a much different, much better attitude. We saw some good play on the field from him. But I just thought that it was very surprising, you know, when I looked at it, that the Giants didn't, you know, more aggressively look for some competition maybe for Eli Apple, or look for a bigger name or a high draft pick in the draft.
I wasn't surprised so much with that, because Eli Apple as a rookie showed talent. What happened to him last year, I think, was just a compilation of various things, starting with, you know, the concern for his mother, who was having brain surgery, which I think it would concern any of us if we had a loved one going through that. I also think if you look at what happened in the cornerback room with three guys getting suspended, with there being some, you know, discipline issues, if you will, you wonder if something was amiss with the relationship the coach had with those players, because it's very unusual to get three guys that come from the same meeting room all experiencing some sort of, you know, disciplinary issue with the coach. So, you know, I know I asked Eli Apple in the spring, you know, about the new position coaches, which consists of Lou Anarumo and Deshaya Townsend. And he absolutely was thrilled with, you know, the arrival of those guys. You know, Deshaya Townsend, obviously a former player, so he can, I guess, relate better to the players than, you know, especially since he's, you know, not that far removed from the game. So, I don't know, I just think that I just feel that it's a better situation, especially with the addition of Beal. And, you know, it's just a matter of keeping those guys healthy and just, you know, hoping that they bounce back and turn back the clock to 2016 when they were one of the top units.
Sure, you know, it will be fine if Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple stay healthy and play up to their capabilities. You know, and that's just it. I mean, when you look at the backup situation, it's unheralded guys, it's unknown guys, it's under the radar guys, and to be honest, it's hard to sit here and say, well, those guys can't do the job if they have to play, because we don't know. I haven't watched, you know, film on B.W. Webb or Chris Lewis Harris, and, you know, I haven't seen enough of Teddy Williams as a player to tell you if he can handle a high number of snaps as a, you know, if he has to play them. And so I don't know. We'll have to see. The Giants have taken the volume approach, sort of, you know, throw a lot of things at the wall and let's see which one of them, you know, let's see which ones stick. Hopefully a couple of them will stick. Hopefully a couple of them, you know, will turn out to be, you know, quality depth for the Giants. You know, in terms of Sam Beal, I think you've mentioned it. That pick maybe is a little bit of a Gettleman-esque pick in terms of his love for collecting corners and drafting corners. But it's a pick with a long-term view, because this was a guy who's looked at, when I think our own Chris Flum did a look at Beal and said he's a guy with starter potential down the road. So who knows what they get from him this year. But that's a long-term pick, and something fans always need to remember is that the NFL draft oftentimes, and we'll include the supplemental draft, you know, since the Giants made a pick this year, is oftentimes not necessarily all about the upcoming season. It can be about the long-term, and Beal is probably a long-term pick.
And that's exactly what Dave Gettleman said in a statement released by the team. He says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, we're getting a jump start on 2019, which is why I believe they're getting ready to reshape that cornerback unit. You know, Beal is going to be ready to be a starter next year. You say to yourself, okay, who do we move out? And I think, given the cap number, Jenkins is the likely target. He's got no guaranteed money. I think the guaranteed money ended last year. So, and I know there were some people that thought that he might be a cap casualty this year, but I wasn't one of them because, you know, the depth situation. So I could see a situation where, you know, if Jenkins, you know, where they can move on from him if he doesn't deliver the goods this year. And you know, there's a lot of pressure on him. He's still a very good player. He was slowed down by injury. So, you know, you've got to grade him on a curve, if you will, I think. But, you know, the sad fact of the matter is teams don't want to hear, oh, you know, you weren't as good last year because you were banged up. And, you know, speaking of guys who are in that boat, a guy we hadn't mentioned that I think we need to mention is Dante Dion, who has been trying to latch on as the slot cornerback, but who unfortunately has had his share of injuries. And, you know, as I said, unfortunately, you know, teams don't wait for guys who are injured unless they are extraordinary talents. And I would think, you know, Dante Dion is another guy who's going to have an uphill battle to stick around this year if they stick with just five guys.
Sure, I love Double D, but you still have to wonder. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with Dante over the last couple of years, and you just have to wonder if a 163-pound guy, you know, can hold up as a cornerback in the NFL. And, you know, we've seen 2 years in a row where he's had injuries. So, you know, I root for the kid, but I just still don't know if he's a viable, you know, player, you know, unless it's more than an emergency situation. I did want to say one thing about Janoris Jenkins, though. You look at Jenkins, and I think he was with the Rams for 5 years before he came to the Giants as a free agent. Had never played as well as he did, you know, with the Giants in 2016. So as you said, Patty, it's a prove-it year for Jenkins, because is he the guy, the sort of average cornerback that played for the Rams, the guy who could make a splash play, but gave up a lot of big plays and wasn't really that shutdown number one kind of corner that maybe his physical skills, you know, said he could be? Or is he the guy that we saw with the Giants in 2016? I think this year will tell us a lot about what kind of player Jack Rabbit really is.
For sure. And, you know, another guy, and I remembered who the other guy was whose name escaped me, and, you know, shame on me for forgetting this guy's name because of the role he could potentially play. But Curtis Riley is the other defensive back. And this is a guy who kind of surprised a few people because he was during the spring, he was at safety filling in for Landon Collins on the team drills. So when you think about filling out the cornerback depth, you say to yourself, okay, you're Apple and Jenkins are your starters. You figure William Gay is going to make the roster. Sam Beal isn't going anywhere. Your fifth guy now, do you count Curtis Riley as a safety or do you count him as a swing guy who can fill in at safety and cornerback? I think the fact that he can play both positions gives him an advantage over the rest of the guys who are looking to stick.
Sure it does, Patty. And I hadn't really thought about Riley because at this point, you know, I have him in my safety considerations. But, you know, the NFL, you look at it, 53 guys really isn't that much to get through a season, and 46 guys that you dress on a game day really isn't a lot at all. And a guy who can swing from one position to the other, a guy who can play multiple spots, you know, whether that be a couple of different linebacker roles, whether that be swing from cornerback to safety, you know, a guy who can play multiple spots is a guy who is valuable on a game day, you know, when you go to make the decisions on who gets a uniform and who doesn't.
Absolutely. And you know, it's going to be interesting because there could be a scenario where they keep a sixth quarterback. I don't know that if they will, but if they do keep a sixth guy, I think, you know, Haley, it's going to come down to Haley. It's going to come down to Double D, Dante Dion. A lot was made of Grant Haley. You know, he looked good in camp. Very promising. He was a priority free agent. I think he got one of the highest signing bonuses of the undrafted free agents that they signed. So it's going to be a very interesting scenario to see what they do with numbers. And I could see a scenario where they go with six. I mean, again, depending on how they classify Curtis Riley.
Sure, Patty. You know, I try not to get hung up on X number of corners, X number of safeties, but it's easy to do that way. You know, it's you try to figure out the 53-man roster, you know, scenarios. And to be honest, I'm tinkering around with doing a 53-man projection before camp starts. But interesting competition at corner. I think it's always healthy, you know, when teams are able to set up, you know, competitive situations. It's kind of different. You know, last year, a lot of guys said, well, we all knew who was going to be on the roster at, you know, even when training camp started, there really wasn't competition for a lot of spots. Corner is a spot where there is a ton of competition, and beyond the top three or four guys, beyond, you know, Jenkins, Apple, William Gay, and Sam Beal, I couldn't tell you who's going to get that fifth spot or that sixth spot if there is one. So very interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things we didn't see much of in the spring because of the fact that they're not in pads and contact is not allowed is we did not see them play press coverage. We did not see bump and run and see them really get physical. And that's probably something that is going to separate who makes the roster versus maybe who goes to the practice squad versus who goes to the waiver wire. So still a lot to be seen. I think early projections, if I had a guess, I would say five. But again, you got to see what the injury situation is. And it's going to be certainly interesting to watch.
Yes, it is, Patty. With that said, Giants fans, I think we will call it a show for today. We always appreciate you tuning in. And just on a side note, I hope that over the past couple of shows, you folks have noticed a little bit better sound quality from us. We've tried recording a little bit different way, and we hope that that you guys are appreciating a little bit better sound quality. We will be back again to continue our previews. I think we have the safety position left, and we have to talk about special teams yet as we get ready for training camp. And with that said, Giants fans, we will talk to you again soon, and bye-bye now.